Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today, we're really digging into something fascinating: Vietnam's surprising emergence, as a real global player in metal fabrication, especially for custom metal parts. Our mission here is to unpack for you, our listener, what's really driving this shift, the advantages making it such a go-to place for importers.
Yeah, it's so easy to just think, oh, sourcing, it's always about the lowest cost, right?
Exactly. Chase the cheapest price.
But what jumped out from our sources immediately was, okay, the savings were there, definitely. But the real surprise for importers, it wasn't just the price. It was the quality they found, the flexibility, and honestly, how smooth the whole export process turned out to be.
Yeah.
That really caught them off guard in a good way.
That's where it gets really interesting, isn't it? Suggests there's more going on than just, finding a cheaper alternative. So we're going to piece this together for you. We'll explore four key advantages: those competitive production costs, yes, but also a skilled and growing workforce, strong government backing, and its strategic location, which actually speeds up global shipping.
Right.
We'll break down how these things really combine to create actual value, especially if you're trying to navigate this whole complex world of global manufacturing today. So let's kick off with the people of Vietnam's workforce. Our sources suggest it's way more than just low wages. There's something about quality, precision. What did you see there?
Well, what's really striking is how Vietnam has managed this combination. You get the competitive labor costs, sure, but alongside that, you have this rapidly growing pool of genuinely skilled engineers and technicians. And these aren't just folks on an assembly line. They have real experience in the important stuff: CNC machining, complex metal stamping, laser cutting, even high-precision assembly work.
Ah, okay.
That translates directly into the quality of the final part you receive.
And it sounds like they've got specifics covered too. The sources mentioned detailed capabilities.
Oh, absolutely. They really break it down. You've got widespread talent in CNC milling, turning, grinding. That seems quite common. For sheet metal, bending, cutting, stamping, again, skilled labor available. Then welding and assembly. You're talking certified welders, MIG-TIG, developing specific jigs and fixtures for jobs.
Okay.
And even the finishing powder coating, polishing, anodizing. They're meeting both local and export standards. It really feels like a complete picture.
A complete package,
It
yeah.
really is. And behind this, you see a solid foundation. Vocational training centers, technical universities, they're churning out capable people. But crucially, many have experience from joint ventures. Think Japanese, Korean, European companies. So they're bringing global standards, global best practices right into the local shops.
That makes a huge
It
difference.
does. And here's a fascinating point. The source highlighted this observed cultural pride in precision and deadlines. Think about what that means in practice. Parts showing up clean, within tolerance, properly documented. For an importer, that cuts down inspection time, rework. It's a massive time and cost saver. That's a real aha moment, I think.
That cultural piece, yeah, that can be a total game changer for keeping projects on track. But okay, let's talk costs, because skilled workforce, global standards, that usually means higher prices, right? How does Vietnam stack up against, say, the benchmark China? Is it really that much cheaper?
It really is. It's a significant difference. The source states quite clearly that Vietnam's machining costs often come in 20% to 40% lower than China's for the very same part. Obviously, complexity and volume matter, but
No,
still.
20 to 40%, that's not marginal. That really changes the sourcing equation.
It absolutely does.
And there was a concrete example too, wasn't there? A stainless steel bracket.
Yes, exactly.
Ah.
A great real-world comparison. They got quotes for this bracket, and the Vietnamese supplier was 25% cheaper than the Chinese one. And critically, the source emphasizes, without sacrificing quality, no corners cut.
Okay, let's get into the numbers a bit. Can you walk us through that cost breakdown the source provided for a machined part?
Sure. So they used a typical machine steel part example, raw material, 304 stainless steel, interestingly, slightly higher in Vietnam, about $6.90 a kilo versus $6.80 in China. Not a huge difference, but yeah.
Okay, so material isn't the saving.
No.
Yeah.
But here's where it flips dramatically. Machining labor. China's rate in the example was $15 an hour. Vietnam, just $8.50 an hour.
Whoa.
Yeah, that's 40, 50% lower on labor right there. And then you add overhead and admin. The Vietnamese factories tend to run leaner, around 8% compared to maybe 12% in China for this example.
Got it.
So you add all that up, the final cost per unit in the example was $4.20 from Vietnam versus $5.80 from China. That works out to, what, around 28% savings overall on that part? Pretty impressive.
That really spells it out. Even with slightly pricier materials, the labor and overhead savings just blow past that.
Exactly. And it's not just static costs. Mm. The source also mentions suppliers optimizing, using automation, running CNCs overnight for small batches to cut lead times.
Yeah.
It ties into the bigger picture, right? Wages are rising in China. Environmental rules are tightening there. It makes Vietnam increasingly attractive, especially for parts that need a decent level of complexity and precision.
Okay, this sounds almost too good to be true in some ways. How is this all happening? What's enabling this level of cost competitiveness and skill development? You mentioned an anecdote about a supplier getting a tax break for new equipment. That hints at government involvement.
It does, and that anecdote is quite telling. It shows direct impact. The supplier invests, gets a tax break, lowers their costs, and passes some of that saving on to the importer. It illustrates the government's strategic role. This isn't accidental growth. The Vietnamese government is actively trying to build this export-focused manufacturing sector. They have specific incentives.
Like what kind of support are we talking about?
Well, several things. There's a corporate income tax holiday, potentially 0% tax for 4 years, then half tax for 9 more years, targeted at high-tech or export businesses. There's import duty exemption, so bringing in machinery, raw materials for manufacturing in specific economic zones. No tax on that. Big help for setup costs.
Definitely.
Plus land lease discounts, sometimes up to 70% off in government-backed industrial parks. And direct support for exporters, help with marketing, trade shows, even making customs clearance smoother. It's quite a layered approach.
That's a serious package of internal support. And there's the external piece too, right? The free trade agreement.
Absolutely critical. Vietnam's been very active joining major FTAs. You got the CPTPP, the EVFTA with Europe, our CEP in Asia.
Right. What does that mean practically for an importer?
It means goods made in Vietnam can often enter key markets like the U.S., the EU, Japan, others with reduced tariffs, sometimes even completely duty-free. That directly lowers your total landed cost, the final price you pay to get the goods to your door. It's a very tangible financial benefit on top of the production savings.
Okay, so we have skilled labor, lower costs, government support. Let's talk about getting the parts out. Logistics. The source noted that the smoothness of logistics was, quote, underestimated early on, but ended up saving weeks on critical projects. That time saving is huge.
It really is, and it's an often overlooked factor. Vietnam's location is, well, pretty strategic, right there in Southeast Asia, close to China, close to other ASEAN nations, facing the Pacific routes. It's naturally well positioned.
Geography helps.
Geography helps a lot. But it's also about leveraging that position with efficient infrastructure.
And the transit times reflect that. Do we have specifics?
We do. And they show a real edge sometimes. For instance, sea freight to the U.S. West Coast, typically 16 to 18 days from Vietnam, whereas China might be more like 18 to 21 days, a few days saved there.
Okay.
To Japan, it's very close, maybe 5-7 days from Vietnam, 5-6 from China. To Singapore's Vietnam is actually faster, 2-3 days versus China's 3-4. And even to Europe. Vietnam often shaves off a couple of days, 27 to 30 days, compared to China's typical 29 to 32 days. These might seem like small differences, but in a tight supply chain, a few days here and there add up fast.
They really do. Inventory costs, project deadlines, every day matters.
Exactly. And it's not just the time on the water. The major ports, Haiphong in the north, Da Nang centrally, and Ho Chi Minh City's Cat Lai port in the south, they're integrated with inland transport and customs zones. That integration helps smooth things out, reduce bottlenecks. The source actually mentioned that many shipments clear export customs in under 48 hours.
Under 48 hours? That's impressive efficiency.
It really speaks to how streamlined they've managed to make the process. Speed and reliability that's invaluable.
So, bringing this all together after this deep dive, what's the big picture takeaway for someone looking at manufacturing, specifically custom metal parts, globally?
I think the takeaway is that Vietnam presents this this really quite rare combination. You have the lower costs, yes, but paired with genuinely high quality, a skilled and adaptable workforce, significant government support, and that strategic location with efficient logistics.
Mm.
For custom metal parts especially, it's becoming really clear that Vietnam isn't just a China plus one or a simple alternative anymore. It's shaping up to be a serious long-term sourcing advantage in its own right.
A compelling mix, indeed. More than just an alternative, a long-term advantage. That really sums it up well. And it leaves us, and you the listener, with a final thought to chew on. If Vietnam has built this strong position in metal fabrication, what other emerging manufacturing hubs might be quietly doing something similar in other sectors, maybe preparing for their own long-term impact? And what signs, beyond just those initial cost comparisons, should you be watching for?